John Knox. John Knox was a famous Puritan reformer in the 16th century. And actually, Mary Queen of Scots said she said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all of the assembled armies of Europe." That's what Mary Queen of Scots said about this man. And he said, "I have never once feared the devil, but I tremble every time I enter the pulpit." And so it made me feel a little bit better about myself. So let's turn to 2 Peter 1, and let's stand. Why don't we try that? Let's stand and read the Bible real quick. If you want to. If not, it's fine. I'm not offended. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, reading verses 2 and 3. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." Father, bless this time in your word. Lord, let it be rightly divided, God. And we just ask that you speak through this pulpit tonight, Father, and we ask that you move in our hearts corporately, individually, Lord, and help us to put feet to the faith and we'll walk in it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we can be seated. So this is the New American Standard, and the King James is worded a little bit different. That might be where you all are reading from or what you have in your head, but God is giving us all things pertaining to life and godliness in verse 3. That God has given us something. He has given us many things. He has given us all things. All things pertaining to life. And the word there is Zoe. It's not bios. It's Zoe life. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Life and walking with God. He has withheld nothing in those areas. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And I've been thinking about that a lot, that God, he's not withholding things from us. He's given us all things. So we're going to do a lot of jumping around tonight, which is, it's fun, I find. So in Leviticus chapter 10, we'll turn there. In Leviticus chapter 10, we have the story of Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons. And in Exodus chapter 30, God gives the recipe for incense. And there's four different spices mentioned there and how to put together for the altar of incense. In the Torah, they said that there's seven more in the oral Torah. But in the Word, there's four. There's four there. And God gives it. And then at the end of Exodus chapter 30, he says, don't do anything to that recipe. Don't add to it, I'm paraphrasing, but don't add to it. Don't use it for personal gain, for personal reasons. Don't do anything to that recipe. That recipe is perfect. It is pleasing to me. That is well pleasing to me. Don't touch it. Don't change it. And here in chapter 10 of the book of Leviticus, we have Aaron's sons changing the recipe. They did something different. And it says in verse 1, it says, "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out of the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, 'It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored.' So Aaron therefore kept silent." God had a way. And these guys, they went in saying, like, we've done something. We've changed it. We've made it better. You know, we've changed it. And maybe God will be happy, or people around us will be happy. Maybe it smells a little bit different. But God says, I will be holy. Those who come near me, those who come into the holy place, those who come to offer up incense, and you know, incense speaks of prayer, but also it speaks of service, worship to God. Those who come near me, I will be treated as something different, something holy. You know, holy is set apart, not common. And these guys, they treated it as something common. They took the recipe that God gave. they took this recipe, these four spices that God put, and he told them to pack it deep, and he gave the exact weight that they needed to be. And he said, don't touch it. And they touched it. They changed it. And then God has a word for Aaron after this, in verses, starting in verse 8. It says, the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you may not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean. He's saying, don't, like, come in. And so the alcohol, like, that's, like, it's not the subject of the message. I think that this, like, because we are priests, we are individually believer priests in 1 Peter chapter 1. We are priests, and God has called us priests, and we can go into the Holy of Holies in the temple of our bodies. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then here God is saying, don't drink when you go in there. Don't have anything to alter that, the worship there. Don't have anything that would alter your mind, that would cause something to happen, that would cause the holy and the profane to mix, that would cause something there. And it came from this portion of from Nadab and Abihu. They changed things. And we see it again. We see it throughout the whole Old Testament. We see things. We see the Jews, the Israelites, putting idols in the temple, you know, putting idols of false gods in the temple. We see the Josiah tearing down the monuments to these idols, tearing down the high places and burning the priests on their altars. A little graphic, but that was of God. Like he went in and he said, no, this will not happen. The holy will not be mixed with the profane. You cannot mix these idols with God. And we see it, and also in Ezekiel 22, God is speaking to Jerusalem, specifically to Jerusalem, about their sins with the God of Molech. We can turn there really quick, Ezekiel 22. In verse 26, so a little context, what Israel was doing at this time and the sin of Israel is they were bringing in this god Molech, and they were serving God in the temple, or serving God with the priests, were serving God. They were offering incense. They were offering prayers. They were sacrificing for the people, and at the same time, they were sacrificing their children to Molech. Very bad what they were doing. They were mixing the profane with the holy. And in verse 26, it says, her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. And the word profane, it can mean common. It doesn't mean something like when you hear the word profane, like profanity, like somebody saying something that's just vulgar, and when we hear it sometimes, it makes us cringe. Maybe, I don't know. But here, it means common. It doesn't just mean something that's over the top bad. It's saying they have made no difference between that which should be separated, that which is really of God, that which is high and holy and listed in the law, and they have made no difference between that and that which just isn't, and that what isn't. And they're bringing it all together, the common and the holy. And there needs to be a difference. And we have this thought that Jesus, through his power, through his divine power, has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything. Every breath that we would take, every prayer that we would make to God, every step that we would take in this Christian walk, Jesus has given to us. And we have this, I mean, we have the Old Testament where we have like the pillar of fire appearing, and we have God really working in the Old Testament, and we still see these people moving away. They walked away, and they drifted a little bit towards like mixing things, mixing the holy and profane. And it can happen to us. It can happen to us in our own lives. We can begin to mix things. what God has called holy and what God has called a life with God in the Holy of Holies, that through the veil, which is Christ's body, and we mix things. We mix thoughts. We mix worldliness. We mix different things from the world and saying, this can apply here. It's okay. It's still good. It's good. And really what we're doing is we're taking something that is of God and we are mixing our own thoughts into it. We are mixing our own ways, our own line of thinking, maybe secular ideas. And we're saying that this is okay to worship God with, when without realizing that Christ has given us everything we need. He has given us everything we need. And it's outside of us. It is outside of us. It's external. It's not internal. It's something that God gave, to us. Let's turn to Hebrews really quick. Because we can think that this is the Old Testament, Old Covenant stuff, Old Testament law. But like, where does it apply to life now with the New Covenant and the blood of Christ? You know, like we have to see that in Hebrews chapter 10, epistle to the church in verse 28. It says, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severe punishment do you think he will deserve? Not who will get. I mean, like, make that clear. Not who deserve. Who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace. When we take the blood of Christ and we add to it, when we take the blood of Christ and say it needs something more, it's not holy. You know, it's good, but we need to add our thoughts to it. We need to add our ways to it. People might not accept that. The cross is bloody. The cross is tough. It is a rock of offense. You know, the stumbling block to people. And we want to change it. We want to regard it as common, almost. Say it needs something else. It needs to be propped up. And here in Hebrews 10:29, he says, like, for the people that were in the old times, like in the Old Testament, when they transgressed, they were killed. How much more severe do you think we deserve it, since we have the blood of God, since we have the blood of Christ? And it's not saying, and I want to balance this. Like, I mean, there's grace for that. There's grace, and we can turn to God. And it's just saying that the blood of Christ is so much holier than the blood of goats. It is worth so much more than the blood of goats. How much more do you think it should be considered in our lives, considered in our thoughts, considered in our actions? So in 2 Peter 1:3, Christ has given us everything. And what is the avenue that he has given us everything in? That's the blood. He has given us everything in the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ has given us all things that we need. It has, and I have a list here, it has bought us, or brought us into the holy place in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 14. The blood of Christ has brought us in. It has brought us into the presence of God. The blood of Christ has redeemed us in Ephesians 1:7. We have redemption through the blood of Christ. Redemption. We have all things. We have forgiveness of sins in Matthew 26:22 and 28. Like, this is my cup, like the blood that is forgiveness of sins, when Jesus said. The blood of Christ speaks better things than Abel. This blood of Christ speaks grace in Hebrews 12:24. The blood of Christ justifies us in Romans 5:9. We are justified in the blood of Christ. We have peace with God with the blood of Christ. We are cleansed conscience with the blood of Christ. We are sanctified by the blood of Christ. We are cleansed from sins by the blood of Christ. We are brought near to God by the blood of Christ. And I have these verses if you need them. The blood of Jesus Christ has given us all things. It has taught us to live a holy life. It has taught us to be accepted. You know, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness in Titus chapter 2. The blood of Christ that brings us deeper. The blood of Christ has given us all things. The blood is power. That's the power that it mentions in 2 Peter. We were given power by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, we can go forward in the knowledge of God based on through the blood of Christ, through what he did. And we access that through knowledge. And it says here, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through the knowledge, not just knowledge, because knowledge puffs up, right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But through this knowledge, just really, I mean, and not just knowing it, but to really, really dig deeper, to really know God. Like Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. He prayed that to the church, and he didn't pray for that's like all the list of prayers that we can have sometimes, you know? I mean, those are good. We're supposed to pray for the sick and the needy. But he said, I pray that you'll just know God. I pray that you'll go forward in that the eyes of your heart, the song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, it's my favorite worship song because of that. It's like, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that you would go forward knowing who you are in Christ, knowing the word, knowing what the blood has done for you, that you would go forward not mixing the world with the word, not mixing thought processes with the word of God, but to really go forward into the mind of Christ and see him work miracles in your life. And not just the external miracles, water into wine, but the internal miracles. I have a new heart. I don't think the way I used to think. I love God now. That's a miracle. I have no reason to love God. The Holy Spirit leads me to love Christ. The Holy Spirit leads me to love the Word of God. Through the Word of God, I dig deeper. And I want to put feet to my faith. And I can walk in it. I can say, Jesus, I believe this Word, and I'm going to walk in it. And not in a weird legalistic, because I'm going to be holy, but just because, God, I want to know you more. I want you to work in my heart. I want you to speak to me through your Word. I know I'm not good, but by your grace, I will follow you. By your grace, I will repent when I need to. By your grace, I will confess my sins, and I will go forward in the word of God. And to really know God, in John 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that you would know God. Let's turn there really quick, so I don't want to misquote that verse. It's an amazing verse. John 17:3. This is an amazing chapter. I've mentioned it before, but John 17, wow. The prayer of Christ to the Father. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who you have sent. This is eternal life. This is like the Zoe life, the new life. Walk in the newness of life, right? To walk in the new life. This is life. And we don't need to wait to heaven to get the eternal life. We can live it now. Like really, we can live it now. We can go deeper in the word. And deeper, and to really stand strong on the word and to be able to discern when something is trying to elevate itself to the level of the word of God in our lives. And there's a lot of stuff out there right now. Right now we're living in the information age. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of really bad information out there. There's a lot of books which we can glean from, yes, but we have to also be careful who we're gleaning from. We want to make sure that it is like the Word of God is, like Pastor Schaller put it in Intro to Theology, that the Word of God is here. And I am always underneath the Word of God. And I never put anything, I never lower the Word, and I never put anything above the Word. Because then, like, that's when problems start. And that's when I start to put my own ideas in ahead of the Word. And I start saying, and I start justifying things. But to really not let our old sin nature or the world dictate to us anything that would mix the holy and profane. We want the holy to be holy, and we want to go forward in that and to offer up an acceptable, sweet-smelling savor to God and to go forward in that. Paul said in Philippians 3:8, he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing, for the excellency of, let me turn there, in Philippians 3:8. Count all things but loss. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. That's the New American Standard, but I count it but dung in order that I may win Christ. And then in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That we would go forward in the knowledge of God. And Peter also said in 2 Peter chapter 3, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we have that really honor that we can do that we can grow in knowledge of our Lord. And when we do that, what will God do? What will God do internally, really internally? The external stuff, yeah, that's great and it's amazing when he does it. We praise God that he's the giver of all things. But the internal work, the strongholds that start being tore down because we are going forward in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, because we are setting the word as a standard in our lives and not mixing it with anything, not mixing it with what we think should be there or what somebody else tells us, but we act like the Bereans and say, I'm going to check that out first, which we'll be going over next week in the Acts class if anybody's interested. So with Jeremiah 9:23, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom or the strong man glory in his strength, but glory in this, that you know God. Right, in 9:23 and 24. Glory in that we're going forward in grace and knowledge. And there's life there. And that's where all things begin to meet. And that's where the rubber hits the road, where we can go forward. So praise God for this life. It's an exciting life. Draw near to the body. Draw near to the word and go forward. And I know we have a few people maybe going to Baltimore soon, going to pursue the knowledge, the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ in Bible College, which is an amazing, that's the highest form of education, Pastor Stevens used to say. Bible College is the highest form of education, and I agree. So, Father, bless these words, bless these thoughts, Lord. And Father, we ask that you draw us deeper into not just knowing of you, but to know you in a relationship, God, where we can put you, where you are Lord, Father, where you are Lord and God and King in our lives, and where we see you work in the deep part of our souls, God. Father, we ask that you work in the deep part of our souls, that you work in the dark places, in the dark times, God. Father, reveal your love, your grace, your mercy in the time of need. Lord, we all need it. We need your grace and mercy, God. Continue to bless this body, Lord. Thank you so much for this time, the privilege that we have to worship you in America. Lord, help us to worship you tomorrow as well. In Jesus' name, amen.